He's got a beautiful backswing.
Oh, he got all of that one.
Oh my gosh.
That is amazing.
Layup with an iron into the hazard.
Oh my God, you had to deal with the golf course people too!
Well, that wasn't quite what I meant, you know?
What is good, everybody? Welcome into the 73rd Hole Podcast, the official podcast of Golf Oklahoma. Sam Humphreys, Taylor Williams, Jim Woodward with you as always. And stay tuned because later in the show, we will be joined by the most recent winner on the PGA Tour, a friend of the show, a friend of mine for a long time, Austin Eckroat. Finally realizes the dream of becoming a PGA Tour winner. You are not going to want to miss that interview later on in the show. T-Dub, I'll start with you. How was your weekend? There was a bunch of good golf. We had LIV, we had the Cognizant Classic, and our man Austin Eckroat wins at the old Honda Classic, now the Cognizant Classic. It was phenomenal to watch over the weekend. It really was.
It really was, Sam. Yeah, we had some great golf played, especially from our friend of the show, Austin Eckroat. We've had him on three, and I believe when we have him on later, it'll be his fourth time that we've had him on. Tremendous young man. Obviously, you know him a lot better than I do, Sam. You sent a picture the other day of y'all about 5 years old standing beside each other. I thought that was a really cool image with both of y'all's dads there. That's something that you want to hold on to because this is not going to be the last time that we see Austin Eckroat win a PGA Tour. And this kid is an absolute star in the making. Obviously, from us being around here, we know that so much better than anyone else would, but just seeing the talent that he was finally able to produce, looking at the stats, he gained almost a full shot off the tee, gained 1.38 approach, and gained almost a full shot on the greens. The three main aspects, he did lose shots around the greens, but whenever you're hitting all the greens, that doesn't necessarily matter, and that propelled him to a three-shot win, Woody. So it was absolutely great golf from a man, Austin, a tremendous young man, only 25 years old. A lot more great golf to come in the biggest events in the game of golf because this win gets him in essentially anything that pays a big purse besides living with him.
You know, we've talked about that. You guys remember early on this year, I know I personally was really pushing, thinking we got to get Eckroat in that top 50. We got to get him in those signature events. And lo and behold, there he came. But Sam kind of saw this coming last show we did. He talked about Austin's finishes. He's made a lot of cuts. Now, he's not come close to winning, but he's been playing really, really solid golf. I don't think our listeners quite understand how good you got to be just to make cuts and finish in the top 20, 30 players on these tour events that they're playing. So when you look at that, guys, you got to realize that he was right there. He's been playing some really good golf, and that's how fine line it really is, guys. When you get right down to it, it gets that close because what it is all of a sudden a 30th place becomes a win, and it's nothing more. Make a few putts, maybe hit some quality shots at the right time. It's just that fine line, and I think we saw it this week with Austin. He was ready, and he was ready to bust, and guess what? It was in this former Honda Classic that he busted, and I'm proud as punch of him.
No doubt about it. I want to break down the golf immensely here in a second because Eckroat put on a ball-striking clinic, especially in the bear trap. But before we do that, I do want to bring this up because I've said it for many years, and I'll bring this up to Austin later on in the interview, but I've said it for many years when people ask me who was the most talented player you ever played with or against, and especially coming out of Oklahoma, Austin Eckroat was the most talented and the guy that I felt like could have the biggest amount of success. And T-Dub, the reason why I say that is because he was never afraid of the moment. He was never afraid of the bright lights. For instance, let me take you back, listeners, to something you might not know. Back in high school, he went to a high school called Edmond North. And if you're not from Oklahoma, this high school that we both went to, we were teammates, had massive success. When Austin came in as a freshman, I was a senior. And Edmond North had won 9 straight team titles at that point. And Austin Eckroat, as a freshman, comes into that golf team and not only makes the golf team, but then goes on to win 6A State, the biggest class there is. He wins 6A state individually as a freshman, the first ever in the history of Oklahoma to do that at the time. And then he goes and he starts as a freshman at Oklahoma State on a team with Matthew Wolf and Victor Hovland and Sam Stevens and Brendan Jelly and Hayden Wood and Chris Ventura and Zach Boshue, all those guys. Ekroat starts as a freshman on that team. And then when he turns pro, he spends 1 year on the Corn Ferry Tour, finishes second at Corn Ferry Tour Q School. After that, first year after he gets his PGA Tour card, first year on the PGA Tour, he breaks, you know, the U.S. Open record for lowest score on a final nine to finish top 10 in the U.S. Open. Lowest score on nine holes anytime, but he did it in his final nine at the U.S. Open, does that in his rookie year on the PGA Tour, and then this year, in his second year on the PGA Tour, within, what, his first five starts this year, he wins on the PGA Tour. My point is, he's not afraid of doing something that he's never done, and I think that's a huge, huge asset to have, especially in the game of golf, where golfers tend to beat themselves up. He's a rare one of those guys with immense confidence, T-Dub.
And I think you saw that most when we had the, what, four and a half hour rain delay on Sunday, which meant that we had to have a Monday finish. He comes out and plays great golf whenever that occurred. So that just shows that you have to have a sense of maturity to be able to propel in situations like that. And he obviously showed that, especially in the final round when he gained two shots approach. He was hitting some beautiful iron shots. And in particular, he's hitting some really good wedge shots in there. And I'll ask him about that when we talk to him in a little bit. But it seemed like every time he had a shot inside 100 yards, it went to inside of 5 feet, which is very, very impressive. And you look at his stats too, he's very, very accurate off of the tee. So he's, it seems like every single tournament, at least in the last, going back to November, he's gained shots when it comes to accuracy off of the tee. So that's something, Woody, whenever you're not getting the ball offline too much and you're just able to place it out there and know that you're going to have a reliable shot and you can rely on your iron play, and then hopefully you can make some putts like he has been, at least going back to three out of the last five events he had gained shots on the green. So being able to keep the ball in play, a big advantage for Austin. Hopefully that streak will continue. And hopefully, it seems like the last couple of weeks he's kind of a little bit lower on distance, so maybe he's focusing more on hitting the fairways, which is something that TG did as well, which made him have such a great year last year on LIV. So Austin, a lot more great golf coming from him if he keeps this up.
The PGA Tour, you used to be, they say you drive for show and you putt for dough, and that's not true. You better drive your ball well too. Even though that didn't make sense because Jake Knapp last week hit, what, two fairways and won the golf tournament.
Well, so, it wasn't quite PGA National, Woody.
Well, it wasn't PGA National. And that's what I was going to tell you guys, because I've been lucky enough or unlucky enough that I played the 87 PGA at PGA National. I played a lot of club pro events there at PGA National. And what impressed me the most, and it didn't shock me, it just impressed me again of how good Austin is. He played those holes, those three holes, 15, 16, 17.
Mm-hmm.
Those can take the best players and make them look really stupid. And you know what? He didn't do it. I mean, he played like a champion is what he did. And that shows what you said, Sam. He is never afraid of the moment. He's not afraid to ever excel for the fact that maybe he wasn't old enough or maybe he wasn't good enough. No, he never thought that way, at least what I've watched of him. So when you watch a guy like that, we're lucky at Oklahoma. We see so many really good golfers. I mean, I don't think even our listeners understand, even the most dyed-in-the-wool Oklahoma golf fan just still doesn't realize how many great players come out of this state. And he is just another one in a very, very long list. And I was impressed with Austin when I first saw him. But what I watched him do on Monday after having to sleep on basically the lead for 2 days, it shows me what he's going to be. And unless something really crazy happens, this kid's going to win a lot. And he deserves it. He's the perfect gentleman. He's a good kid. He's a good Christian, it seems like to me. And so I'm on his team. I'm pulling for him every time.
No doubt about it. And you mentioned how good Oklahoma golf is right now. I mean, teed up. Right now, we have the FedEx Cup champion, Victor Hovland, who went to Oklahoma State. You got Taylor Gooch, the individual champion on LIV, the reigning individual champion on LIV. Then you got the U.S. Open champion who played at Oklahoma State, Wyndham Clark. You got Taylor Moore, who won on the PGA Tour last year from Edmond, Oklahoma. You got now Austin Eckroat, who just won on the PGA Tour for the first time as well. And not to mention, you know, Ricky Fowlers of the world, who made the Ryder Cup, and Brian Harman, whose caddy is Scott Tway, you know, at the British Open. You could go on down the list, but Oklahoma golf is in an unbelievable spot right now, right, T-Dub?
Oh, it truly is. You just listed off the immense amount of players with tremendous accolades up to this point. And the future of almost all the players you just mentioned is extremely bright. It's incredible how the youth of golf is coming up, too. I think you got to look back and credit. Obviously, Victor Hovland won't fall in this category. But a lot of those guys play the OJGT. And how I think that's kind of finally a breeding ground that's starting to finally show. You have the University of Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. Ty is obviously coming in. Oklahoma State, a more longing tradition when you look back comparatively to Oklahoma, but over the last decade, OU has been, they've been neck and neck for sure. Maybe OU a little bit better. So all this is just starting to come to fruition, Woody, and I'm very excited to see what even the next decade of golf holds when it comes to the state of Oklahoma.
Well, it's going to get nothing but better, because what we're really good in this state is we get them young. We get them very young. And we get them kind of going through the motions of how to be good players. And they got guys to chase. The Austin Eckroats, the Victor Hovlands. You know, there's so many good players that these guys, these young kids are wanting to be like. They want to get to that level. So you're not going to see anything but better and better players. And one of the things, too, guys, that we bitch about it a lot when you live in Oklahoma, but the conditions you learn to play in are what Will Rogers said. It changes every 30 minutes, every hour, okay? We play when it's cold. We play when it's windy. We play when it's hot. We play in every kinds of situations. And that's what makes these kids so good. You know, when the wind blows, you can bet on an Okie. You can just bet on them. You can take those California boys and those Arizona boys, and you can throw them in the gutter. They can't play in the wind. Okay, they're not like Oklahoma kids. You know, go to that British Open, our Okies always shine there too. So I think our future is nothing but better. And I think, you know why? Because we got so many good coaches. We got so many good people pushing junior golf.
Guys like you, Woody.
Well, you know, I mean, I try to do what I can. Although, you know, sometimes I'm too old to do it because I get frustrated with them. I can't understand why you can't fly a golf ball or knock a golf ball down. I just want to knock them down because they can't figure it out. But my Carl Albert boys, they're learning. They don't like Woody sometimes, but Woody will make them better if they'll just listen to him.
That's exactly right. Now, let's go back and break down Austin Eckroat in the bear trap, because I don't think we spent enough time breaking down how good the ball striking was, especially coming down the stretch trying to close out a PGA Tour win for the first time. So, on 14, Austin Eckroat ended up making bogey, kind of pole-killed his iron shot into the back left bunker. And obviously the bear trap at PGA National, if you don't know, is 15, 16, 17. So the hole before that, Austin pole-kills this iron shot into the back left bunker and really hits a great bunker shot with water behind the pin up to about 6 feet, but then pulls the putt and misses that par putt and makes bogey on 14, which is a tough bogey to have right before the bear trap. But then he steps up on 15 and just hits a beautiful iron shot right in the middle of the green. And then 16, he said that the shot in the bear trap that he felt the least comfortable with was the tee shot at 16, because he had been hitting driving iron off of that hole every other day. But the wind switched, you know, since it was Monday morning, it was a different wind. And the wind had switched, and he had to hit 3 wood off that hole. Well, he stripes that right down the middle and then hits a beautiful, what was that? Probably like a 7-iron, something like that, into 16 and hits it up to, what, 10, 15 feet and rolls that in for birdie. That's probably the putt that won him the golf tournament. And then he steps up on 17 and really took an aggressive line. I'm not sure that he was trying to hit it right over the flag like that. That was, you know, water on the right, flags over on the right side, kind of front right. But he hits it right over the flag and hits it onto the middle of the green and ends up making his par on 17. Was able to waltz to victory on 18, which is a par 5, relatively easy hole. Was able to lay up and get his par there, T-Dub. But I thought that he handled closing out a PGA Tour event on probably the toughest stretch. You know, it played a little bit easier this year because it was so soft, but there's still water everywhere out there and the wind was blowing. So I thought that he closed out his first ever PGA Tour win about as textbook as you possibly could.
And when you step on those holes with a lead to try to win your first PGA Tour event, it's got to be fairly intimidating for sure. So to see how he executed in that moment was very, very a good thing to see. And you look at how he played the bear trap all week. The first round, he played it even par. He bogeyed 16, but came back with a nice birdie on 17. Parred it all three times in the second round. Did the exact same thing in the third round. And then in the final round, he made a birdie on 16, as you alluded to earlier. So very, very good all week on the bear trap. And the thing that you note there is he didn't make a bogey on 15 or 17. The par 3 is really the most intimidating hole. 16 has played a little bit easier now since they took the bunker out on the right side of the fairway. So 15 and 17, very crucial. And if you would have told any golfer before the week that you would play those holes one under, you would run so fast. And it would be so hard to even calculate the amount of money some of these guys would pay to be able to have that down. So how he executed on that most difficult stretch, Woody, very, very good thing to see. And as you were mentioning earlier, just shows the amount of poise that he has. And as I mentioned earlier as well, this is not going to be the last time that he wins a PGA Tour event.
Well, I think you're right there, T-Dub. I just don't think until you play those holes, you can't realize how good he did play. That's why I'm so impressed with it, because sure, he was nervous. I guarantee he had to be. And to hit that quality of shots all the way through that bear trap the way he did, and really the whole day, he just hit really, really what I call pure golf shots all the way around there. So great win for him, and I hope it's just one of many.
No doubt about it. Now, there's been a lot of long shot winners on the PGA Tour so far this year, and Austin Ekro adds to that list. He was 150-1, but that's because he hasn't necessarily been there long enough yet. Like I said, this is only his second year on the PGA Tour. He has a phenomenal golf swing that does hold up under pressure, T-Dub, and I think that more people are going to start breaking down his golf swing. So let's be one of the first to do it, considering we know Austin well and have watched him play enough golf. What do you think makes him such a consistent driver of the golf ball and really solid iron player when you break down his golf swing?
Well, it seems to me like that he keeps the lines throughout his body so straight throughout the swing. The spine angle, you could essentially put a post through it and he would just turn around it. And so, and everything just seems to be on plane to me. And as you mentioned, it holds up under pressure. It's the sequence between the upper body, the arms dropping down. And it seems like that he has very few times where that's out of rhythm. So it's whenever you have a swing on plane like that, Woody, and then you're able to just repeat the speed that you at least release with the lower body, especially when you're young and athletic like he is, it's really hard to manipulate the club face enough to hit fairly inaccurate golf shots when you're that much on plane.
Well, not only is he on plane, but if you look how just square the club face stays throughout his whole golf swing. He swings hard. I mean, it's a violent action, but the way he stables the club face through the golf ball, it's not unique because every good player does it. But if you look at his golf swing, it's a lot of people will look at it and go, well, it looks like he kind of gets a little funky at the top. No, that's where he is. He's got the club in such a good position. When he comes back down, we always talk about with a golf swing, it doesn't matter how it goes. It's where is it that last foot before it strikes the ball, when it strikes the ball, and the next foot through the ball. And if you club face, it's as good as it gets.
No doubt about it. And then obviously, Austin is a clutch putter. I've watched him make tons of clutch putts since I've known him since junior golf, fellas. He's a great clutch putter. But he has been streaky since he's been on the PGA Tour. Has more of a pop stroke. Did you see anything this week T-Dub that made you think that, man, that looks even better than what I've seen from Austin yet on the PGA Tour? Do you think the greens may have set up well for, you know, his little pop stroke? What do you think made him so comfortable this week on the greens out at PGA National?
Well, he definitely saw his lines right. It seemed like a lot of times when I watched him, he was hitting good putts, where even if they didn't go in the hole, they were at least scaring the hole, which whenever you gain almost a full shot on the greens, that is going to be the case. You look at how he's putted the last two events leading up to here. Mexico Open, he lost over a shot on the greens there. Then the same thing at the Waste Management Phoenix Open. The two events before that, the American Express and the Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey, he gained more than a shot on the greens. So as you just alluded to, very streaky putter, and he just caught a right week, Woody, whenever you're hitting the ball as well as he did, gaining almost a full shot in approach and off the tee, that adds up to he gained more than three shots total in every single aspect. So whenever you're playing that good golf and you make some good putts, it's going to be hard not to win a tournament.
Well, it's not like he's not a good putter, but you're like everybody on the PGA Tour. Most of them are streaky putters. When they're on, and when they're off, they're not that bad. Unless, of course, there's some wheels out of horses that struggle. He's not struggling now. You got him a long putter. But Austin does too many things right too many times. So it's just, I mean, it's like anything. You throw a dart at a board enough times, you're going to hit the bullseye when you got a good swing of the arm. So it was just, it wasn't when he was going to win or if he was going to win, when he was going to win. That was Austin Eckroat always to me. And it just so happened it was in South Florida last week.
We saw this coming not only from high school or college, but even during COVID, I remember playing a lot of golf with Austin Eckroat. I think that's probably around the time that he broke the course record out at Oaktree National, too. Just a phenomenal player. He's going to win a ton, and we're going to talk to him here after the break on the 73rd Hole podcast. Fellas, anything else that stuck out to you from the Cognizant Classic this week before we get to Austin Eckroat? One thing that I did have to chuckle at was the Thomas Dietrich six putt. It's rare that you see one of those happen, huh?
Boy, that was a great video that was going around of Thomas Dietrich. Just absolutely, you could tell he was over it. I believe he was like four over or something at that point. So he's like, get me out of here. I'm tired of playing this difficult golf course. No, I'm not going to make the cut. So just send me along the way. A couple other things to notice from this tournament. Minwoo Lee finished tied second. He's been playing some really good golf. Watch out for him coming up. Van Rooyen has played good the last couple of events. He shot 8-under in the final round to vault up to a tied second. He was actually 8-under through 10 and then played his last 8 holes. Even part of that rain delay definitely steadied his ship.
Yeah, he was
sure.
He was out there playing at Seminole during Austin Eckroat's final round. He was playing in that Seminole member guest, right?
And won it.
And did he end up winning it? I didn't even realize that. I guess let's look up the scores here of that Seminole member guest.
Yeah, we got to talk about Tiger playing in that.
I did.
I forgot about that.
Okay, so I'm looking here. As far as the gross, Mackenzie Hughes and Frank Edwards won the gross. But the net, you're exactly right, Woody. John Pinkham is the amateur playing with Eric Van Rooyen, and they shot 62 and won the event. They beat Jimmy Dunn and Ryan Fox, by the way.
There you go.
Some of the names. We'll have to go through these names. You guys just want to do this right now? Some of these names, I mean, just ridiculous names, like Tom Brady, Tiger Woods, pretty much any, you know, pro you can think of. There are a few Oklahoma guys in it. Eckroat was going to play in it, but he had other things to do, like went on the PGA Tour. Chris Goddard was playing in it. But any thoughts on this Seminole pro member?
Yeah, very unique event. Seems to draw, as you mentioned, all the best names in governing sports and big businessmen. Anyone who's a big name is going to be playing that event. Well, and a new addition this year was Tiger Woods, and it seems people are raving about it. Said on the 15th hole, he hit a shot into about 2 inches with a 5-wood from 250. So he's definitely still got some game going. Hopefully the flu really did just set him back as a genesis, and he'll play some good golf. We did find out, as we'll talk about Bay Hill in a little bit, he's not playing this week at Bay Hill, so hopefully that means that he's going to be playing at the Players next week. But yeah, that would be the thing that I would note most from this, Woody, is that it seems like Tiger's obviously still got the game, and they said that he walked as well. They said he could have used a cart, but he decided to walk, so that's definitely a positive sign.
Yeah. Anytime he plays and he's not hurt or he's not sick, it's positive, but I told you guys after the last time, he's going to have to show me something now. I'm not going to keep betting on him because I just don't know until I see it. I'm like the show me state now. You got to show me something. So we'll see. I'm shocked he's not playing at Bay Hill, guys, to be honest with you. So I don't know where he's going to play.
Yeah, I bet you he plays at the Players, fellas. Rory McIlroy, they ended up shooting 66 net. I don't see where he is on the gross. You'll maybe have to find that for me, T-Dub. But Tom Brady and his partner ended up tying Seth Waugh, who is the head man at the PGA of America, and Tiger Woods there. It's rare that you can say that two goats tie each other in something.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, it was very, as we mentioned earlier, star-studded list for sure. I'm very excited to see, as I mentioned earlier, what Tiger has to bring. But then also as well, this is just a good time of golf because you have the Honda, or what used to be the Honda last week. Then we go into Bay Hill and the Players, which is definitely the pinnacle of the Florida swing. So I'm very excited for these next couple of weeks of golf to see what exactly transpires. And hopefully we can get out of our streak of off-the-wall winners. I think Austin is going to break that because we're going to look back on and say that he's a superstar. So I think this is the official point of the no-name winner existing on the PGA Tour. I think we're about to be on a hot run. That's some good golf.
No doubt about that, because you're hitting the primo events coming up. So the stars better start shining, or we're going to have an interesting year.
No doubt about it. Let's not let the listeners wait any longer. Let's hit our interview with the most recent winner on the PGA Tour, Austin Eckroat, coming up after the break here on Oklahoma's Leader in Golf, the 73rd Hole Podcast. We would like to welcome in a new sponsor to the 73rd Hole Podcast, Jimmy Austin Golf Club in Norman, Oklahoma. If you have any Sooner apparel needs or apparel needs in general, this is the golf shop to go to. Jimmy Austin Golf Shop has been rated as the top merchandising facility in all of the South Central section 5 out of the last 7 years. In addition to their phenomenal pro shop, Jimmy Austin is also going to be hosting a Korn Ferry event again this year, the Compliance Solutions Championship. On June 20th through the 23rd, you can come out to Jimmy Austin and see the stars of the future on the PGA Tour competing in the Compliance Solutions Championship on the Korn Ferry Tour. I also want to encourage all of our listeners out there to go out to Jimmy Austin and play some golf. It's one of, if not the best, public facility in Oklahoma, and it always ranks in the top 5 best courses in Oklahoma to play golf. So if you want to play like a champion, next time you're booking your tee time, remember, there's only one Jimmy Austin Golf Club. And we're back on the other side of the break on the 73rd Hole Podcast, the official podcast of Golf Oklahoma. And now, like I mentioned before the break, we are joined by one of the friends of this show, but also the most recent winner on the PGA Tour. My good friend from, I don't know, Austin, what was it? When we were 6 years old or something like that. I've known you forever. And you just achieved a lifelong dream of winning on the PGA Tour. My first question is, what is it like to actually realize that dream?
I mean, it's awesome. I mean, I still haven't really had time to let it sink in. And then I had to go out and play a practice round today. So it's been a interesting, you know, 30 hours or so, but it's been, you know, I don't really have words for it yet, but it's been a goal of mine since I was, you know, a kid. It's been a goal of my dad and I's. It's just crazy that it actually came true. And, you know, you always feel like it is going to be the week that it's going to happen, you know, and then to actually feel like my game was in a good spot on Wednesday afternoon and it actually be the week that, you know, I came out on top. It was crazy, crazy feeling.
Austin, the golf that you played this last week was tremendous. In off the tee approach and putting, you gained almost a full shot in those three categories, which is something that us diving into analytics don't see very often. So tremendous golf being played there. And I want to kind of look back on how you've been playing these last couple months. Going back to November, you had made, I believe, 8 of 9 cuts since then, and you've had 4 top 25 finishes. So obviously, it seems like something clicked at that point. Right. What all's been going on in your game since that point to lead you to play such great golf?
Yeah, just kind of, you know, looking back on last year, I was kind of struggling on all fronts of the golf game. There was nothing really, you know, especially this time of year. You know, I played the Honda Classic and missed the cut, and I was in the middle of missing seven cuts in a row. The game was in a bad spot. And then, you know, I was able to just figure stuff out over time. And, you know, the last few months, the golf game's just been in a really good spot, you know, from tee to green, everything's been close. And then on the weeks before this last week, you know, I'd have three, you know, the three main categories working really well. You know, I'd either be driving it well or struggling with the irons and then putting and chipping well, or the next week it'd be something different that was struggling. So, you know, this week to have, you know, all fronts of the golf game, you know, firing, it was awesome.
Austin, I've told many people throughout, you know, my time of now going into the media from playing golf, and they say, you're from Oklahoma, Sam. Who was, you know, some of the best players you played with? I said, Austin Eckroat was always the most talented. And the thing about you, Austin, is the reason why I think you're going to be so successful on the PGA Tour or in whatever else you do in life, it's because you have succeeded at every single level. I mean, even going back to high school, you came in as a freshman to a team that had just won 9 straight state titles and ended up winning state as a freshman in 6A, first to ever do that. Then you go to start as a freshman at Oklahoma State on a team with Victor Hovland and Matthew Wolf and all those guys. And then you go spend 1 year on the Corn Ferry Tour, finish second at Corn Ferry Tour Q School. First year on the, you know, big stage with your PGA Tour card, you break one of the records at the U.S. Open, shooting a 29 on your final 9 there, and then the next year you win on the PGA Tour. My question to you, Austin, is where does that mindset come from where you're not afraid of the moment and you're not necessarily afraid of doing something you haven't done before?
Right. Well, thanks for all the compliments. I don't know. It's just been something, you know, I feel like I've always just been really good at the game of golf, you know, at a young age, like I understood the game, you know, how to play it. And, I don't know. I just, you know, looking back on junior golf, I even drew, like whenever I was this last week, I was looking back on events I won as a junior, you know, cause it'd been so long since I'd won a tournament, you know, just drawn from experience and, you know, I don't know, just, you know, I feel comfortable in that situation where there's a lot of pressure. Like, I like the feeling of being nervous. You know, I feel like that's kind of why I practice, is to be able to perform in that situation. And it's, it was just really cool. And then, you know, someone asked me after the tournament, you know, I was actually in between the middle of the round. It was whenever we had the delay and had to go sleep on a lead in the middle of the round. What situations have you been in similar to this where you can draw experience off of? And I was like, honestly, I've never been in this situation where I've had a lead on the final round, had to sleep on it in the middle of the round. It was just a crazy, crazy week.
Now, Austin, your win yesterday accomplished a lot of different feats. First of all, it moved you into the top 50 in the official world golf rankings, which at least at this point is the main criteria to get in all the biggest events in the game of golf. You'll be in the signature events this year. You'll be in the Masters PGA Championship. You're currently 17th at FedEx Cup standing, so that's sitting very promising to get a trip to East Lake. And you're also exempt on the tour through 2026. So I know we're sitting on it about 27, 28 hours since your win, so you may not have been able to dive and to soak all this in. But what does that freedom allow you to do now, knowing that you're in the biggest events in the game of golf?
Right. I think it's something that guys don't talk about a whole lot on the PGA Tour, because it's mostly the, you know, media coverage is on the guys, top guys in the world, and they're not ever worry about job security, you know. But that's something on the PGA Tour that's not, you're not very secure at all points. You know, you have a tough year, and next thing you know, you're going back to Q school. And, you know, just having that, the full status on the PGA Tour through 2026 is probably the biggest thing, in my opinion, just because it allows me to have, just go out and not worry about making cuts. All I have, you know, I just want to go win golf tournaments now, you know, and go compete and have a chance to win. And, you know, try to go win major championships. You know, that's my, it kind of shifts your focus from, I just want to be able to play on the PGA Tour again next year, to now I have the mentality where I can go and, you know, play a little bit more freely and go play to win golf tournaments.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Austin. And last week, actually, before the tournament, we were talking about the Oklahoma guys in the Cognizant Classic, and I was obviously talking about you, and I was like, man, he's making a lot of cuts, but not necessarily having the finishes that you wanted, like a tie for 38 in Mexico, 37th at the Farmers, 25th at the American Express. You know, what felt different this week to where you obviously got into contention and didn't necessarily, you know, falter at any point in the 4 days?
Right. Yeah, it was weird. Like, I looking back on those weeks before, like I was close. Like, I was doing a lot of parts of the game were good. There was just always one thing off, and it wasn't the same thing. So it wasn't an easy fix. Like, oh, I just need to start putting it better, and I'm gonna be in contention. It was, you know, 1 week it'd be putting, next week it was chipping, next week it was like couldn't hit a fairway, but the rest of the golf game was good. And you know, just when I got on property in West Palm Beach, it was like I felt so comfortable with all aspects of my game. I really felt like there was going to be a good chance I was going to be in contention. And you know, it's a lot different to feel it on Wednesday than to actually, you know, come Saturday morning, you're in the situation. And then I don't really know exactly what, you know, what was the trigger to where I was, you know, I was there. But, you know, it was just funny, like when I was leaving Mexico, like I was hitting the ball solid, but I wasn't hitting it exactly how I wanted to. And I was hitting on TrackMan, and I was just, you know, a little steeper than I wanted to be. And I get to the driving range on Tuesday in West Palm Beach, and I hit on TrackMan and my attack angles were perfect. You know, it was just like I didn't change anything. It was just like that week something was just clicking. You know, it was just lucky in a lot of ways, but, you know, it was awesome.
Austin, kind of piggyback off the question I asked earlier about you being now in the biggest events in the game of mm-hmm. golf, PJ National is a very, very tough test of golf. There seems right. to be water on almost every essential hole. And going into these bigger elite terms, you'll see a lot more tough golf courses. You've played in two U.S. Opens previously. Up to this point, you actually finished a tied 10th last year. Very impressive there. So what do you feel like needs to evolve, or do you need to improve on your game to be able to compete consistently on more difficult golf courses?
Right. Yeah, like I played Bay Hill today, and it is a monster. The rough is up to my upper calf. So it's a, you know, it's going to be tough. And, you know, I think the way I played last week at Honda, obviously it's easy to say that I played so well, and I was hitting fairways, hitting greens, but, you know, the game of golf is as simple as that. If you're hitting fairways and hitting greens, the golf course never seems that tough, you know, and you're able to compete at those really challenging golf courses and staying away from the big mistakes and avoiding those big numbers. But, you know, just the maintenance of, you know, the golf swing and the simple things and making sure you're working on the proper things. I mean, there's so many things that come to playing well on the really tough golf courses because you can't fake it around them. And that's what I was good to see. I was good to see the great result at a course like PJ National to where you couldn't, you know, fake it around the golf course.
Austin, so one of the cooler things that happens when you win a PGA Tour event is you get in the Masters. What are you most excited about right. about that week coming up? And when are you going to play a practice round here soon? I mean, obviously plans change. Yeah, I think you can make room yeah. That second weekend in April, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's definitely one of the most exciting perks of winning on the PGA Tour is getting to go to Augusta. You know, I mean, as most golf fans, I've watched every Masters since I've been alive and, you know, been dreaming of the day I get to go. And I'm just so excited. And that's another thing I have to do. I have to go through and figure out my schedule because things just change a lot and seeing which events I'm going to play and which I'm going to not. And but I'm definitely going to try to find a week to go out early. I'm going to take as many opportunities as they'll let me.
Austin, one of the things that the stats backed up this last week too, one thing I noticed, was that it seemed like any time you're inside of 100 yards, you hit it to inside of 5 feet, give yourself an almost gimme putt at that stretch. Is right. that something that you've been focusing on more so? And if so, what are the keys to becoming an extremely dialed-in wedge player?
Yeah, the wedges over the last, even last year, that was something that I was doing really well, was hitting my wedges great. And it's something that, you know, going back in my, you know, college career and high school career, was something I struggled with, was my wedge play. And just, you know, just the maintenance of, you know, working on distances. And, you know, I really started working more on focusing on, you know, the numbers on TrackMan and all the radars that they have. But the attack angles, like, that's so important when it comes to your wedges because that changes your loft. And, you know, I've kind of got those dialed to where I know when I know it's in a certain window, I'm able to hit the wedges the way I want to. As long as in the morning that, you know, before I go play golf, I'm in a certain window, I feel really comfortable with the wedges and I'm able to, you know, hit the shots I want to hit and spin it the certain directions I want to spin it. And it's just been, I've been very happy with the wedges over the last, you know, 18 months or so.
That's great stuff there, Austin. Hey, we really appreciate your time today. Obviously, you know, it's probably a whirlwind for you over these past 48 hours going straight from the Cognizant now to Bay Hill. And I'm sure we'll have you back on. We can tell stories about Edmund North or OSU when you have more time. But I do want to ask you about one person that I've seen with you this entire way, your dad, Steve. And when we were growing up, he was up on the range with you till dark. He was taking you to tournaments. I even saw a picture of us at Pinehurst at the U.S. Kids, Austin, and our dads are caddying for us. So just speak a little bit about what your dad has meant to you in this process. And I'm sure it was kind of a culmination of everything over this past weekend, you getting your first win on the PGA Tour, right?
Yeah, I mean, this wasn't always only just a dream of mine. It was definitely a dream of my dad's, was to, you know, for us to win a PGA Tour event. And I'm so glad he got to be there to watch it. You know, my first one, he comes to a lot of events, but not all of them. And, you know, can't thank him enough for teaching me how to work hard when I was a kid, you know, and learn and teach me how to practice properly. And, I mean, it's really incredible. It was I always look back because he was, you know, as you know, he was a little strict when it came to my golf and my, you know, preparation. And, but, you know, I'm so thankful for that whenever I look back now and just, how he taught me how to work hard and, you know, and he's always been there. He's been my biggest supporter since, you know, I was 6 years old when, you know, playing those U.S. kids golf tournaments and, traveled all across the world with me in junior golf and followed me in college golf, and he's been following me in the professional level too. So it's been a fun journey for us too, and I'm glad he was there to experience that with me.
No doubt about it. Love your family. Love you, Austin, and so freaking proud of you watching you this weekend win your first event on the PGA Tour. We'll talk soon. We'll talk actually this coming up Monday or Tuesday after you win Bay Hill, all right?
All right, sounds good.
All right, see you, brother. Thanks.
Right. See you, buddy. All right, bye.
We'd like to welcome in our newest sponsor for the 24 season, Allcom Security. They're located in Midwest City. It's an Oklahoma-based company by Oklahomans. If you have any alarm needs, whether it's home or business, or what they have now that I am fascinated by, and I think you would be too, they're OKC Security Trailers. These trailers aren't just your average surveillance units. They're equipped with cutting-edge technology that can distinguish between humans and vehicles. Imagine that. With precise accuracy, these trailers detect any unwanted activity on your property, whether it's a person wandering where they shouldn't be or a vehicle creeping around after hours. It's like having a vigilant guardian watching over your domain. I have personally seen these units, and they are amazing. So if you have any alarm need, please call my good friends at Allcom Security, 405-732-9000, or just look them up on the web, Allcom Security.
And we are back on the other side of the break here on the 73rd Hole Podcast, the official podcast of Golf Oklahoma. If you want to see another great article on Austin Eckroat, go to golfoklahoma.org. Kim McLeod and Chris Swofford always doing a great job covering local golf in the state of Oklahoma on golfoklahoma.org. Fellas, how awesome is Austin Eckroat to take the time after winning on the PGA Tour? He's such a great guy and gave us so many great answers and insight there to his first win on the PGA Tour, right, T-Dub?
Oh, what a great interview Austin is. That was, it's so cool for us to be able to talk to a PGA Tour winner no more than 28 hours after he wins. That's very, very cool that we get to experience that. So very thankful for Austin and very generous with his time. Know that he has so many things going on with just winning a PGA Tour event and then trying to play in a signature event this next week at Bay Hill, one of the most prestigious events on the PGA Tour. So very thankful that he gave his time, Woody, and the great answers. And I expect him to play some really good golf this week.
Why not? Why wouldn't he win this week, too? Let's pull for him. I think Bay Hill sets up good for him. He's on a high. Let's see if he can pull off another one.
No doubt. Like we told Austin at the end of the show, we'll talk next Monday or Tuesday after he wins Bay Hill. Fellas, let's switch gears a little bit here to last week on Live. By the way, I don't want to toot my own horn, but I did pick Joaquin Niemann. So that makes two winners that I've picked so far this year, and they're both named Joaquin Niemann. Maybe I should just pick Joaquin Niemann every single week, and I might pick a winner every week on Live, fellas. But he did end up winning the golf tournament last week in absolutely dominating fashion. We'll get into that in a second. But really, the biggest storyline headed into Live Jetta was Anthony Kim's return. Especially around here with Anthony Kim living in Oklahoma City, a lot of people were interested to see how that was going to go. It turns out if you take 12 years off of professional golf, you're going to be pretty rusty. He ends up shooting 6 over, 6 over, 4 over. Now, he did par like, what, 12 straight holes in that second round. He showed some glimpses of some nice things, but obviously very, very rusty. But it is good to see Anthony Kim back out competing again, and he looks happy and he looks healthy with his family and his baby girl and wife out there. And hopefully, you know, from all intents and purposes that I've heard, he's been sober for a long time now too. So it's good to see him just happy. And now we can kind of use this as a stepping stone, and hopefully, you know, we see him here in the next 4 or 5 tournaments, maybe find some form again. But obviously, taking 12 years off of professional golf, T-Dub, we saw the rust out there with AK for sure. He ends up finishing, you know, last out of the guys that finished all 54 holes.
Yeah, even though he did not play great golf whatsoever, he played very, very poor golf. But even barring all that, it was great to see Anthony Kim just be able to play golf again. As you mentioned, a 12-year hiatus. It was great to see him at least out there. Obviously, as you mentioned, there's going to be so much rust whenever you do that. He hit. See, yeah, he threw a shank in there, which we saw Tiger do at the Genesis. So it shows that even anyone is capable of hitting that shot. And AK hit a really good one, so congratulations to him for that. But unfortunately, he only made 4 birdies on the week, so that's something he will greatly have to improve on. You mentioned he finished last. He finished last by 11 shots as well. So as much as I want to see some more AK play some great golf like he did in the late 2000s, early 2010 range, I don't, he's got a long way to go, Woody. Whenever you're finishing DFL, Hudson Swafford finished 2nd DFL. He shot 5 over, AK shooting the 16 over. It'll be interesting to see what he does this week in Hong Kong, but I, unfortunately, with what I saw this week, I expect him to have probably somewhat similar results that we had this week. Hopefully, instead of plus 16, we can get it down to the plus 7, plus 8 range, being optimistically.
Well, and you don't know what the golf course is, if the golf course is going to be easier or harder. So one thing we did say, if he finished in the top 40, we thought it was going to be a great week. He didn't get there. So the first tournament, I didn't give a whole lot of my expectations were low. If I see a little better the next week and then when he gets to play again, I'm not sure if his whole heart's in this deal. And that's what we got to figure out, guys. And he's such an interesting individual, the best way to put him. I don't know what he's looking for out of this comeback, but I'm sure he wasn't looking for DFL and that many over this first tournament. So maybe he's going to Hong Kong and practicing a little bit more. I don't know.
Definitely need a little bit of practice headed into Hong Kong, but only up from here for Anthony Kim headed forward. Fellas, let's talk about Joaquin Niemann. As I brought up, my pick before the week ends up winning again on Live at Royal Greens. And fellas, he ends up winning by 4 shots over Louis Oosthuizen and Charles Schwartzel. Niemann ends up 17 under, Oosthuizen and Schwartzel 13 under. You have Bryson DeChambeau solo 4th place, who ended up shooting 12 under for the golf tournament, 8 under in that final round. And John Rahm right there, solo 5th place at 11 under. You also had a couple friends of the show, Charles Howell III and Taylor Gooch, tied for 6th place right there at 10 under par. Fellas, I was just really impressed with how solid the ball striking is right now from Joaquin Niemann. Obviously, we talked about him getting the special exemption into the Masters, now the PGA as well. Joaquin Niemann is one of the great young talents in professional golf right now, T-Dub.
Well, one thing that was really impressive from what I saw was he was able to flight so many drives out there. He was able to hit 30-yard hooks. He was able to hit high fades. He's hitting low worm burners, keep him in the fairway. It was just his driving is spot on, and it's something that if he has that much control over his driving, he's going to be in very, very good shape. And just read off some of his, going back to November of last year, here's what he's done. Win 3rd, 30th, win 4th, win 5th. And you look at it, it seems like everyone in front of him on the data golf rankings, he's ranked 12th currently, seems like everyone in front of him has at least one flaw in their game, Woody. I don't know if Joaquin Niemann might be the best golfer in the world right now.
You know, it's funny you say that, because when I was watching some of those shots that he was hitting, I thought, well, if he, you know, this is where we are in the world of golf, though, guys. There are so many good players on so many tours that can do so much with the golf ball that, I don't know, on any given week, is he the best player in the world right now? Well, if he's not, you got to tell me who is. And, you know, he keeps this going for another couple months, he could have a green jacket. So, I don't know. I watched this, and I'm proud of Sam for picking him again, because sometimes it's hard to pick a guy after he just won. Now, let's see what he does this week. If Sam picks him again, T-Dub, we're going to have us an issue, okay? We'll let him. We'll let him pick him again if that's what he wants to do. But to win 3 in a row, that'll be really special if he can pull that off.
No doubt, Woody. I mean, almost as if you win twice on LIV, you get, you know, free exemptions into major championships. Oh, wait, no. That's only if you're Joaquin Niemann, not Taylor Gooch last year. But I digress. But, fellas, Joaquin Niemann, I don't know if he's the best player in professional golf right now, but he's definitely the hottest player in professional golf right now. As far as the team event up at LIV Jeddah, you had the Crushers end up winning the golf tournament at 38 under, 4 shots over Team Stinger, who, if you remember, won in Tulsa when LIV was in Tulsa. And then Team Smash, Brooks Koepka and Taylor Gooch's team finished 3rd, 1 shot behind Stinger at 33 under. So it went Crushers, Stinger, Smash. Like I said, Bryson DeChambeau in that final round led the Crushers to that victory with the 8 under. You had Charles Howell shoot 6 under in the final round. Lahiri 5 under, and Paul Casey shot 1 under in that final round. Counting all 4 scores this year on LIV, T-Dub, that is how fast things can change, that a guy like a Bryson who shot 7 under, 3 over, 8 under can really change the fortune of his team on a Sunday, counting all 4 scores, right?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And you look at how the Crushers did in the final round. They shot 20 under to propel themselves way up. Bryson's 8 under. Our man Charles Howell shot 6 under. Arnaud Lahiri shot 5 under in there as well. So then that meant Paul Casey only had to come in with a measly 1 under. But still, whenever you're able to do that, it really propels you to move all the way up. And especially when you have all the other teams with counting 4 scores, you have one weak link on there. You have one guy shooting a couple over par, and all of a sudden your team is going to plummet, because you may have a situation like the Crushers did, where you have 3 out of your 4 players going really hot, and then you have one playing fairly steady golf and at least holding the head, shooting course average for the day, and essentially all you need whenever your other players are that hot. So, yeah, it definitely makes the team concept more intriguing, Woody, because last year I felt like there was too many times where the team was essentially sealed before the final round, or at least before the last 8 to 9 holes, and it seems like this year has been a little bit more competitive the first few events.
I think 4 guys counting, no lead is safe now. I mean, you, like you said, the last year was kind of boring. A team would get, with just 3 guys, they'd get 3 pretty good players hot, and the rest was history. 4, it just adds it kind of throws a little bit of a kink in the wheel, you know, because all it takes is one guy to kind of fall on himself, and then the whole thing changes. So I think that's what LIV was looking for. I'm sure they're wanting to make sure that everybody says, hey, this isn't over till it's over. And we've seen that now with these 4 scores counting. It's a big difference.
No doubt about it. Now, they're headed to Hong Kong this week. Your top five favorites analytically at Live Hong Kong are John Rahm, Joaquin Neiman, Tyrrell Hatton, Taylor Gooch, and Louis Oosthuizen, who has been playing some really solid golf recently. After that, you got Bryson DeChambeau, Dustin Johnson, and Brooks Koepka up there as well. Fellas, I'm not going with Neiman this week. I'm going with, shocker, John Rahm this week at Live Hong Kong. Call me chalk, I don't care. I'm going with the best player in the field, in my opinion, and he hasn't won yet individually on Live. I think it's time that John Rahm wins this week for the first time individually on Live at Live Hong Kong, T-Dub.
Well, the analytic favorites there, definitely a solid pick, and I think Rahm will, I mean, this is going to be his fourth event on Live. I think he's going to get on a massive heater at some point, and this very well maybe opportunity. Look at the course. It's only going to play 6,700 yards, which is very, very abnormal. So look for it to be more of a placement track. So may lean towards a Joaquin Neiman. Seems like a course that'd be tailor fit for his game. But my winner, I'm going to go with our man TG. I think this is going to be his week. Last year on Live, his three wins were outside the United States. I think that lends well for him to play good this week. He finished sixth in Jeddah, finished tied second at Las Vegas, and finished 15th at the first event in Mayakoba. So I don't know, Woody. I think TG's at a good place in his life, just having his second child, and I think he's playing very, very solid golf up to this point. And the international trend that he had last year, I think it's going to propel him to get another one this week.
Yeah, it's a good pick. I picked him this week. I thought he was going to play, well, he finished sixth, so it wasn't like he played bad, but I thought he was going to win this week. I'm going to go with Louis Oosthuizen. That's who I'm going to go with, because I think Louis, he's surprisingly showing up this year, and I just love his golf swing. If there's one guy I'd like to watch just swing the golf club, it's him. He's just got the purest looking golf swing. And I think his patience is being a little bit of a older guy. I think he'll get around this golf course. So he's my pick this week.
Very good, fellas. If you're going to watch this golf tournament live, Hong Kong, China is 14 hours ahead. So we're recording this podcast right now at 6:30 p.m. Oklahoma time. It's 8:30 a.m. Hong Kong time right now. So T-Dub, another good tournament to grow the game of golf around the world. However, a very, very hard tournament for us to watch, you know, as far as us watching live. We can obviously watch the tape delay version of it, but man, I mean, if they tee off at noon their time, I mean, that's going to be pretty much, you know, starting around, you know, midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning, right?
I think this one will be at least a little bit easier than Jeddah was. That one was starting real early in the morning. I remember on Friday waking up to go to class at 6 in the morning and checking the scores, and they still had a few holes left there. So that started very late. I think Hong Kong will be a little bit different. But as far as being able to watch whenever you'd want to watch golf, which is essentially prime time, it's hard, and it is something that I think that, as we saw at the Mexico Open, I know it was a very poor spot in the schedule, but a lot of times when you go internationally, it's just hard to want to attract the viewers in that sense. It's a lot of times it's better to be a little bit more domestic when it comes to golf. I know that's what Liv is wanting to do and grow the game, so I think that's a great thing. Maybe it's a slight sacrifice we have to make because, unfortunately, we can't have the same time every time. Unfortunately, we rotate around the sun, and we rotate on its axis, so that causes a little bit of a problem there. But if it's a slight consequence of the game of golf to where we can grow it a little bit, maybe watch this on a tape delay or stay up late at night to watch it, I don't necessarily see that as an atrociously bad thing.
Well, that's where we're going, so you better get used to it. A little tidbit for you boys. Hong Kong, I was there one time, and it was 1980, and it was the same time that the Miracle on Ice, for you that are way young, you don't know what I'm talking about, but there's, well, you should. It's when the United States beat the Russians at the Olympics in hockey, which was unheard of at that time. So Hong Kong, one of the coolest cities I've ever been in my whole life. So it was a great week for me when I was there, because we won that gold medal in hockey. And that, it's funny how you can always remember where you were at certain times. Well, when that happened, I was in Hong Kong. So I might actually watch a little of this just because I'm thinking it could be kind of fun. I'm thinking that I really will, with the golf course being that short, I'm going to be interested to see what it is, Sam. So I might have to watch a little of this.
No doubt. And every time that Liv plays, they have a really, really solid field. And fellas, that was a big topic from earlier today. Greg Norman says in a letter obtained by Bob Herrig of Sports Illustrated, a letter about the official World Golf rankings and the fact that Liv has officially withdrawn their request for official World Golf rankings points. Greg Norman said, quote, a resolution which protects the accuracy, credibility, and integrity of the OWGR rankings no longer exists. We have made significant efforts to fight for you and ensure your accomplishments are recognized within the existing ranking system. Unfortunately, the OWGR has shown little to no willingness to productively work with us. That comes from Greg Norman talking about the official World Golf ranking. And then, you know, Taylor Gooch had thoughts about this last week when he was on with Flushing and, you know, had similar feelings when he was on with us, you know, the last couple of weeks. Taylor said, in my opinion, the only way the official World Golf ranking works for Liv is if they retroactively award points and don't deduct points from events for some reason, like no cut, 3 days, etc. If it's not retroactive and full points, it's not right and it screws us players. Basically saying that it's gone so far the other way, fellas, that guys like Dustin Johnson and Brooks Koepka are so far down in the official World Golf ranking. You know, Taylor Gooch, same thing, that if the Liv players get official World Golf ranking points, they're going to want to be reciprocated for the points that they gained over these 2 years instead of just going saying, hey, thanks for the official World Golf ranking points. I'll go ahead and take my, you know, 150 to 200 ranking right now when I've been playing some really solid golf. No, they're not going to do that. And by the way, the PGA Tour players have been taking up for the Liv players on this official World Golf ranking deal. Xander Schauffele said, and this is a quote from Xander today at Bay Hill. He said, the Liv Tour definitely has really good players and players that are in the top 10 or 25 in the world, and there's many of them. So they're just sort of unranked right now. But to me, I do believe that they are definitely top-ranked players in the world. You also have Matthew Fitzpatrick, Matty Skills, weigh in today and shared his thoughts on the OWGR and said, quote, I don't think the world rankings are a true representation of the game of golf at this minute. I don't really look at them or pay attention to them anymore. I don't think they're right, so I look at data golf as a better representation of how people are playing in the world, in my opinion. T-Dub, it sounds like all of the players, whether they're PGA Tour players or Liv players, agree that the system is broken. Now, Greg Norman and Liv withdraw their appeal to the official World Golf ranking, and basically now Liv saying the official World Golf ranking is so broken that even you giving us points isn't going to fix anything.
Well, as far as why would they withdraw their bid or whatever, it's you're on a sinking ship. The OWGR is not going to mean anything. It's going to be obsolete within at most 2 years, maybe 3 years, if somehow they're lucky. So, no, before long, DataGolf or some other analytic system will take over. Hopefully, it's a correct system. DataGolf seems to be fairly accurate when it comes to at least how current form is for golfers. So, I think that is very, very important. So hopefully that is at least at this point is a better representation. It's a hell of a lot better than what we're currently using, Woody. So the ship is officially sinking on OWGR, and thank God, because over these last 2 years, it's been an absolute joke, as we've been talking about ever since all this started.
Well, like I always tell you guys, this is my wisdom again. Never argue with a fool, and it doesn't do any good to argue with it. And anybody wants to argue about it, don't argue with them. They're a fool. So just move on, and we'll hopefully something good will come of this where we get a whole new system and the guys that are on that Liv will get some kind of justice.
And even guys like Will Zalatoris, you know, talking about today out at Bay Hill to the media saying, look, I mean, yeah, it's great that Joaquin Neiman gets a special exemption into the Masters, but Joaquin Neiman should be in the Masters regardless, you know? And so I think when we look into the future of the official World Golf ranking, I don't think that it's going to be necessary for, you know, especially Liv players to get into majors. I think that eventually when both sides start coming more together, I think that, you know, you'll see more of something like Charles Howell has talked about on this show, where you get the top 10 or 15 guys off of LIV into major championships. You get the so many off the FedEx Cup into major championships, and you go from there, right, T-Dub? That's at least how I see it going in the future.
I think that would be a very simple solution to all this. Another simple solution would be just take out the OWGR, the top 50, and just replace it with Data Golf. Literally change four words out, OWGR, Official World Golf Ranking, with Data Golf. That's all you'd have to do to make this easier as well. And it's, as we mentioned too, it's what's been a consequence of all these things that have been transpired over these last 2 years. It's sad to see that we're at this stage. I used to love the OWGR. I used to be able to love going on their website and seeing, oh, how many points did this event get? I mean, we used to do strength of field on the show. It was one of our most liked segments whenever we tried to guess what the strength of field was in OWGR, and then it became such a joke that we stopped doing it at that point. So it's a sad thing to see. All they had to do is make a couple of tweaks, just have a little bit of common sense, which is, we all say, is very uncommon nowadays. Just, you got the best players in the world, or some a good portion of the best players in the world playing an event. You should probably get some points for that.
What's that comedian say, that Ron White guy? He always used to say, he's got that quote, he goes, well, you can't fix stupid. Okay, there you go. You can't fix stupid.
No, exactly right. And that's what I was going to ask you to kind of wrap this up, what he is.
I
feel like, yeah, you nailed it right there. But at the same time, it's the first time I've really heard the PGA Tour players kind of, you know, speak out against it. I think some of these media outlets today at Bay Hill were asking the question, thinking that they might rip Greg Norman, and they basically said, no, we kind of agree with Greg Norman, the PGA Tour players out at Bay Hill today.
Well, and really, Sam, when you get right down to it, at least all these guys, I hope all these pros that are out there playing golf for a living right now are starting to get this, where they say, guys, we were always strongest when we were united, okay? Even though we got these multiple tours, we can still be united. We really can. And if they will do that, the fans will really appreciate it. And I think golf will be stronger because of it. Nobody's getting anywhere arguing. All you got to do is look at the world we're in right now. Everybody that argues, we're not getting anywhere. We just keep going backwards. So I think these guys are all starting to figure out, if we're going to have a really good situation in pro golf, we all got to figure out how we can get along.
Too much money to be left on the table. These players want to play against the best players in the world on a more regular basis, and especially in major championships. And the players are saying, hey, look, we know who the best players in the world are. It's time that we have a system to get everybody together at least for four times a year in the major championships. And people are finally realizing that by the day, the official world golf ranking is getting more and more broken. Speaking of Bay Hill preview coming up after the break here on the 73rd Hole podcast. If you're not already following us at the 73rd Hole on Twitter and X, and at 73rd Hole on Instagram, definitely make sure and go do so. We put out great stuff every week watching golf on the PGA Tour, LIV, and college golf here on the 73rd Hole. Like I said, Bay Hill preview coming up after the break here on Oklahoma's leader in golf.
Hey everyone, T-Dub here. I want to take a second to tell you about my good friends at McRae Roofing. Not too long ago, my roof was in desperate need of repair. There was extensive hail damage and I had many leaks that needed attention. Not only did Jeff and his staff build me a new roof, but they walked me through step-by-step of the claims process, which is something that I was very, very concerned about. Everything from the initial inspection of the roof to analyze all the damage to meeting with the insurance adjuster to make sure they were aware of every damaged area, making sure my claim was accurate. Their custom copper creations are truly beautiful and add a great touch to any roof. Not only do they do residential roofs, but they have an elite list of commercial customers, including Gallardia Country Club, Oak Tree National, and Bass Pro Shops. Check out their website at McRaeRoofing.com to view some of their work yourself and give them a call at 405-692-4000. That's 405-692-4000.
And we are back here on the 73rd Hole Podcast, the official podcast of Golf Oklahoma. And fellas, we do have a signature event on the PGA Tour this week. We have the Arnold Palmer Invitational at Bay Hill. And your top five favorites for the week, T-Dub, are Scotty Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, Victor Hovland, Xander Schauffele, and Colin Morikawa. What are your thoughts on Bay Hill this week?
Well, Bay Hill is an ultimate driver's golf course. You got to be, it traditionally favors guys who are great drivers. Not only do you have to hit the ball far, but you have to hit it straight. A lot of very, very tight holes out there as well. Was it number 3 and number 11 are a couple of those holes where the water, it almost shapes around at a 90-degree angle. So those are very, very tricky. So it'll be interesting to see how it comes down. 18th hole, one of the most famous in the game of golf. So it's one of my favorite tournaments of the year, one of the most prestigious on the PGA Tour. I'm excited to see how it plays out. You mentioned those guys inside the top five. Scottie Scheffler in 12 rounds here has gained almost 3 shots on the field average, which is third in the field besides only Kurt Kitayama, who's only played here once and won. And Jordan Spieth, who's played here twice and finished fourth both times. So Scottie Scheffler, a very good track record. Look for him to play well. Rory in 36 rounds has gained almost similar to that. So almost the same as what Scheffler's done, but in a longer extent the last 5 years. He's gone second, 13th, 10th, 5th, 6th. So Rory might play some decent golf this week. Matthew Fitzpatrick has a tremendous record on this course as well. So I expect it to be a little bit of a horses for courses type situation. What do you think, guys that have played here traditionally in the well or traditionally in the past will play well this week? And it's one of the more timeless golf courses that the PGA Tour sees on a regular basis.
Oh, no doubt. It's a great golf course. I want to see what Rory McIlroy starts to, I mean, he's not played that good, guys, over here. At least not on our tour, okay? So I'm going to say I want to see what he's going to do. He needs to get in the top, you know, 5, or he needs to be competing to win a golf tournament because he hadn't done it. He hadn't shown it yet because Augusta's a month away, guys, basically. It's 30 days. So we all know what he wants to do. He wants to win that worse than anything he's ever done. So I think this will be a great field. It's a signature field, as we call it. Will it come out of that top 5, as you always ask, Sam? I don't know. I mean, it's tough anymore to pick 5 guys out of these kinds of fields that one of them might win. But it'll be cool to see what Scheffler does. Is he going to putt better? So I think it will come out of one of those 5 guys this time. For some reason, I just think it will.
I agree with you, Woody, and we actually talked about earlier all of the long shots that have won so far this year on the PGA Tour. Chris Kirk, Grayson Murray, Nick Dunlap, Matthew Pavon, obviously the 2 signature event winners were Wyndham Clark and Hideki Matsuyama. Both of those guys were 80-1. You had Nick Taylor sandwiched in between those guys, Jake Knapp, and then Austin Eckroat, obviously who we just talked to, but I do think that the top guys are going to play well this week. And I am going to pick Scottie Scheffler in the one and done this week. I think that this is the perfect place to do it at a signature event. Look, he's not even putting any good, and he's finishing 10th, 3rd, 6th, 17th, 5th. He won at the Hero World Challenge. But fellas, last year at Bay Hill, he finished tied for 4th. And didn't putt any good. The year before that, he putted really good at Bay Hill. Guess what happened? He won. And so now in these signature events, they're making so much money in these signature events that I'm not scared to pick a guy like Scottie Scheffler on a week like Bay Hill instead of saving him for a major in the one and done. I'm picking Scottie Scheffler to win the golf tournament and in the one and done this week, T-Dub.
Wouldn't be a shock and wouldn't be a bad pick either. I believe the winner gets $4 million this week. So in the one and done, that could prove extremely crucial going forward. Then you have the players the next week. So these next 2 events for the one and done will be extremely, extremely important. My one and done pick, I'm going to go with a little bit of combination of 2 things I was saying earlier. We're going to go with someone who's played this course well and also someone who's played on pretty good recent form. Give me Cameron Young. It seems like that he's starting to get things figured out. Finished 4th this last week at PGA National, finished 16th at Riviera, finished 8th at the Waste Management, finished 3rd earlier this year in Dubai back in at the end of January. And then there's 2 times playing the opponents, finished 10th and 13th. And so I think that when you add those 2 combination of things, Woody, I think that's a very strong pick. One thing he's been doing exceptionally well lately is driving the ball. For his last 4 events, he's actually gaining shots accuracy-wise, when with how long of a player he is and he's hitting fairways, that's a really good combination, especially on a difficult golf course like this.
And you said it. You got to drive the ball well there. So I like both those guys. I really do. I also like Colin Morikawa. This golf course sets up beautifully for a fade. So he's on my watch list. So I just look forward. Let's hope weather is good and we don't have rain delays or anything crazy like that. But I'm ready to get back to see the superstars again. Let's see what they can do. And I'm pulling for our little buddy Austin. If he can pull off another maybe top 10, I'd be really impressed then, because I know he's going to be on a little bit of a, he's gone from the highest highs, and it's hard to keep that going. So, but I am pulling for him. I hope he has a good week.
Hopefully he just kind of continues that adrenaline rush into this week and continues playing unbelievable golf like he did last week at the old Honda Classic, now the Cognizant Classic. Let's talk about his former teammate at Oklahoma State, also plays his golf out at Oak Tree National, Victor Hovland. He's finished 10th here last year. He finished second here at Bay Hill the year before that. Javi finished 19th last time he teed it up at the Genesis at Riviera. What are your thoughts on Javi this week at Bay Hill, T-Dub?
I think Javi's going to have a very solid week. He's come into the first three events this year, finished 22nd, 58th, and 19th. So not necessarily the best golf that he's ever played, nothing close to what we saw last year when he won the B&W Championship and the Tour Championship back-to-back. Very, very good stuff there. But as you mentioned, the last 2 years, he's played this course extremely well. The 3 years before that, he finished essentially 40th all three of those times. So definitely learning the course, which is something you have to do here. So I expect him to play well here. And then you look at what he did last year, starting around this time. He finished 20th at the Genesis, very similar to what he did this year, finishing 19th. And then he finished 10th at Arnold Palmer, finished 3rd at the Players, and then he ended up finishing 7th at the Masters. And he had a chance to win on Sunday. He shot 74 in the final round to push him back. But that's when he really started to play some solid golf that time of year, and I expect that to continue this year. I expect Victor Hovland to have a very, very successful March, April, May season.
Well, you know, I picked him to win two majors this year, and I'm not backing off that. I think that's what his mindset is now, guys. That's why he's not off to a real fast start. I think he has his sights set on those four majors this year, and I look for him to build up to them and then play exceptionally well in them. So Bay Hill might be just a tad early, but I still look for him to have a good week. I think, but he's going to build more towards the Players Championship and leading up into Augusta, where I think he'll be right there on Sunday at Augusta.
Javi, definitely one of my major favorites headed into major season. I'm pushing the envelope with picking Scottie Scheffler this week in the one and done. By the way, if you don't know what the one and done is, we pick one golfer each week. After you use them, you can't use them again the rest of the year. I'm picking Scottie Scheffler this week, but my best bet of the week, considering you're not going to get great odds on a guy like Scottie Scheffler, my best bet of the week of a guy that I think can win this week out at Bay Hill would be Ludvig Åberg, who is sneakily in the top 10 on Data Golf as far as best players in the world analytically. And he did play at the Arnold Palmer last year in 2023 and finished tied for 24th. This year so far, you know, his last few tournaments, he finished 19th at the Genesis, 2nd at the AT&T Pebble Beach. He finished tied for 9th at the Farmers, and he's putting really, really well so far this year, and he gained a shot and a half on the field for the event last year at Bay Hill. Look out for Ludvig Åberg this week at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. I think he definitely could win this golf tournament.
Oh, absolutely. He finished, I believe, 23rd last year in this event as an amateur. So that'll be very, very telling to see how he comes back and plays this. I expect him to be in the top 15 range for sure. And definitely will have a chance to contend if he can get some putts to fall. Maybe look at someone like a Tommy Fleetwood would be another guy who I would potentially throw in there as a chance to maybe finally break through on the PGA Tour. He finished 3rd back here in 2019. He has 2 other top 10 finishes in there. He finished 10th at the Genesis. He won earlier in Dubai back in January. So looks like he's playing a little bit of decent golf. He's 8th ranked player analytically. So the analytics definitely favor how he's doing. So maybe give me a little bit of Tommy Fleetwood as someone you might want to lay a little bit of money on as a chance to finally break through on the PGA Tour.
Hey guys, I've come up with a simple solution because Ludwig has changed his name so many times. I just kind of call him L.A. He's just going to be L.A. So whenever I say L.A., I'm talking about him because I don't know whether it be Oberg, Aber, Ober. I'm tired of it. I'm going to call him L.A. So whenever I talk about L.A., you're going to know who I'm talking about, okay?
That's right. That's right. He did. He went from Ludwig Aberg to Ludwig Aberg to Ludwig Ober to Ludwig. Now, I think is how they're pronouncing it on the broadcast is Ludwig Oberg is how they're pronouncing it now. But we'll just go, I agree with you, Woody. With L.A. The last
LA.
Guy I want to bring up before we get out of here, fellas, does this sound familiar? Maybe kind of like something I said last week, a guy from Oklahoma that's been making a bunch of cuts, but hasn't necessarily been in contention, but does have some nice history on this golf course. That would be Taylor Moore, similar to what we were talking about with Austin Eckroat last week. Taylor Moore, you know, he's finished 31st, 39th, 47th, 70th, 25th in his last few tournaments, and the putter's been very streaky, but Taylor has played Bay Hill twice now and gained 1.31 shots on the field per round. Last year on the greens and the year before that on the greens, almost gained a full shot per round as well. So I kind of look for Taylor Moore to have a good week this week as well as far as the Oklahoma guys, you know, mentioning him in the same breath with, you know, Victor Hovland and Austin Eckroat.
Yeah, going back on a course, they definitely knows the greens and can putt well, as you mentioned with the analytics there. That's definitely going to be something that could boast him up for sure. So far this year, he's played 5 events. His best finish is a 25th at the Century. So not off to the best start of the year. One thing that is a little bit alarming is that his last 4 events, he hasn't been very accurate off the tee. So hopefully he can get that fixed this week going into a very tricky driving golf course. But the last 2 events, he has gained more than a full shot approach to green at the Genesis and at the Waste Management. So that is a good sign. Both of those events, he did not putt very well. So if he hits the irons like he has been the last couple of weeks and putts as he has the last 2 years, Taylor Moore could very potentially have a great finish.
Yeah, there's another one we got to talk about because that's something we got to put a little asterisk or some kind of a buffer. Whenever we might forget somebody on our podcast, it's not we forget them. It's just there's so many good ones playing out of Oklahoma. You know, we were talking about Austin. Taylor won just a year ago, a big win there at the Valspar. So I just want to throw that out to any of those guys that happen to listen. If we forget you, we didn't forget you. We love you all. You're all excellent players. Just put that as my little footnote for the LA. I'm just going to try to make it as simple on me as I can, guys. So when I forget somebody, don't feel bad.
No doubt about it. Yes, just too many good players out there from Oklahoma on the PGA Tour and on LIV. T-Dub, did we forget anything today before we get these people out of here and let them go watch Bay Hill and LIV Hong Kong?
Well, I don't know if we're going to say necessarily forgot because it's not necessarily the biggest talking point. But there is technically another PGA Tour event going on this week, the Puerto Rico Open. If anyone is just absolute golf nut and says, you know what, the other 2 events aren't enough this week, I need to watch a little Puerto Rico Open. Rasmus Højgaard is the favorite there at a 6% chance to win. Aaron Rye, Ben Griffin, Daniel Berger is the 4th favorite. So maybe that would be a good story to see him come out and win. Our man Chris Goddard is the 7th analytic favorite to win. So maybe Chris could go out and get his first win technically on the PGA Tour. That would be cool to see.
No doubt about it. Love Chris Goddard. CG, definitely a friend of this show as well. Speaking of Chris Goddard, his Sooners did get a win at Southern Highlands, at the Southern Highlands Collegiate in Las Vegas over this past week, finished 1st of 15 teams, shot 8 under par as a team. So as we kind of ramp up and get into Big 12s and the national championship this year, which is not at Greyhawk anymore, it's out in California, OU definitely playing some really solid golf and some really balanced golf as, you know, they go on to have a victory at a big tournament, the Southern Highlands, which a lot of good teams were in.
Yes, very, very good win for OU as well. Looks like they got getting everything very much situated. Drew Goodman tied for 6th. The event, our man Ryder Cowan is tied 21st there. Ben Lorenz, who's top 10. PGA Tour U rankings currently, he finished 34th. Jackson Dow finished 41st at plus 5. But yeah, it looks like that they are playing some solid golf. And this is what we have. It's going to be, 2.5 more months, 3 months till Nationals. So there is a little bit of time there, I guess you could say. So hopefully teams don't peak at earlier in the year, but that's something you can't really prognosticate. You're just trying to play the best golf you possibly can. And so it looks like that they got the ball in the hole very efficiently this week, Woody, and hopefully that streak continues. And hopefully they don't make too many putts in March whenever they hopefully can make them in May.
Oh, I think they'll be okay. I mean, this is just another long list of our coach Hibble pulling something like a rabbit out of his hat. He always finds five guys that can perform. So I don't worry about those guys. When that bell rings in June, when that national is, I think they'll be there.
And that win gets them up into the top 10. We'll keep you updated on college golf as we get closer to Big 12s. OU's last year in the Big 12s. We got to remember that as well as they head into the SEC next year. And then obviously the national championship after the conference championships. T-Dub, thanks. Woody, thanks. This has been Sam Humphreys on the 73rd Hole podcast. Again, big thank you to our man Austin Eckroat for coming on the show today, and congratulations to him and his family. Austin Eckroat, first-time winner on the PGA Tour. That's just awesome stuff. We will talk to you guys next week and recap the Arnold Palmer Invitational and Live Hong Kong here on Oklahoma's Leader in Golf, the 73rd Hole podcast.